May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who is believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And then John 16, verse 33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have, and that's in the present tense, which means it's a continual reality. In this world you continually have tribulation. But cheer up, take courage, I have overcome the world. Just in my time with the Lord this morning, that place in 1 John kind of jumped off the page for me. And I was just reminded that the whole idea of being an overcomer, and you hear that a lot, that's a good phrase, people talk about being overcomers, but being an overcomer doesn't just suggest, it proclaims the fact that there must be things you have to overcome. That's the word means, you're overcoming something. To be victorious, and that's another good phrase, victorious Christian living, means that there are battles that you have to fight that you win. You can't be victorious without having had something you're victorious over. And there's a confusion out there somewhere that spirit-filled living, and this is really a Western confusion, you know, the rest of the world knows better, but there's this confusion that victorious Christian living means sort of a battle-free thing. Well, no, victorious Christian living assumes the fact that there are battles that you've just simply learned how to walk in victory in the midst of them. So if not having battles is your goal of being an overcomer, give it up. And if somehow you feel like the fact that you're going through battles means that there must be something wrong with you, then you're confused. God, the moment you became a believer, you were equipped with everything necessary to be an overcomer. That's a revelation that each one of us need to get. Again, at the cross, when Jesus said, "It's finished," he meant it. He said, "Everything." It's the word, it means perfect. His new creation, you are a new creation, are perfect. I don't mean that you walk out perfection, but you've got all the equipment. You've been made complete in Christ. It's already done. You carry all that you need. You carry all the anointings that are available. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is yours. That's what you're born with. Every human baby is born with all the equipment, a healthy one, but they have to grow in learning how to cultivate and develop that equipment. They don't get more. They just learn how to walk in the more. One of the things that people love to say is that transformation comes as a result of revelation, but that's not true. Revelation can prepare you for transformation, but transformation, you get revelation. God shows you something true. God shows you something true that's yours in Christ. That's revelation. But transformation only happens when there's appropriation. And appropriation always happens in the context of tribulation. The lecture isn't going to get you the degree. It's going to be the lab that affirms what you've learned in the lecture. Jesus was always given lectures and he was taking them out for the lab. He didn't just talk about healing the sick. He didn't just demonstrate healing the sick. He threw them out there and said, "Now I've given you power and authority, go heal the sick." Conflict, turmoil, and battles, obstacles, are not something I pray for. But the good news is you don't have to. The bad news is that Jesus said, in this world, you have tribulation continually. You don't have to pray for it. It's coming. But battles are a gift. Because Jesus said, he gave us the formula, and the formula is never really a formula, is it? It's really a person. Jesus said, in this world, you have continually tribulation, but cheer up. In me, you'll have peace. In this world, you have tribulation, but cheer up because I've overcome the world. Here's the deal. The overcomer of the world lives inside of you. That's what makes you complete. You're complete in Christ. Every battle you're ever going to face, every obstacle that's ever going to be thrown at you, have already been thrown at him. And the proven overcomer who overcomes supernaturally is now in union with you. And that you got the moment you were born again. But in this fallen world, he doesn't waste anything. And he uses all these obstacles to teach us how to manifest the who that is the what to everything in the Christian life. It's not a formula, it's a person. Those of you who've been around long enough, one of the great men of God in the 20th century was Watchman Nee. And one of the things Watchman Nee used to say is that we only advance in adversity. They're called growing pains. You only advance in adversity. And so what I wrote in the devotional day was, therefore, run to the battle. You don't have to pray for them, but they're necessary. They're God's gift. Not just situations and circumstance. What about the battles, internal battles? When you were born again, why didn't God just eliminate sin from you altogether? And the whole issue of temptation. I've read something recently where they kind of suggested that. But their attitude was so arrogant in the book that it was obvious that they weren't believe that wasn't true what they were saying about it. I didn't know if they knew that pride is a sin, but it actually is. Why didn't God just eliminate the flesh? Because isn't the flesh the source of our destruction? But it's also part of the source of our transformation. Because God uses the internal battle, the battle of anger, resentment, self-pity, offense, criticalness, bitterness, unforgiveness, all those are part of the training ground. Those are part of the, in this world you have tribulation. That's the same word for temptation. It's the jazz on the inside and the jazz on the outside. And all those are opportunities for us to live, to learn to live, and manifest the supernatural life that we already carry in Christ. Why does God in particular let you run into people who are sick? Because he wants to use you to manifest the anointing that he has as the overcomer that you already carry. You don't have to pray to get it. And what does it say, that 1 John? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Man, I'm 65 years old. I've talked about faith for gazillion years. Yet it's become simpler to me than I've ever known it before. You got to become like a little child if you're going to walk this stuff out. Everything, the overcomer, lives in me. Overcoming inside stuff, outside stuff, ministry stuff, he already lives in me. I have one responsibility. Faith. Faith. That's it. And as I believe, he manifests that which is already true. Amen? So don't be surprised if you've been tempted today. The only way you're going to learn to be the overcomer that you are is by being tempted. Don't be surprised if you're being tested today. I did that word. I posted it on the devotional Nazanors, like, here's this revelation. So just so in case, I just want to be an instructor, that I end up on the telephone with somebody. Tribulation. God wanted to know if I was actually going to appropriate what I just wrote. It's easier to preach it, but it's transformational to walk it. Amen? So don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that's common to every other brother and sister in Christ. The testing of your faith is necessary. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.